so a lot of the denial is to preserve, you know, the kind of the world that you've been living in for so long. And to give that up is frightening. And then to face the consequences and admitting that it is a problem, because you have people telling you it's a problem. It's a problem in their life. And so there's this war, internal war going on. I think once you finally admit that it is a problem, you feel that relief, and then you can move forward. You can't really move forward until you admit, right? You take responsibility for a behavior that's self-destructive.
Welcome to the Sober Buddy Podcast, your boost of sober thinking and awesome life building. I'm Tara Zoe, CEO and co-founder here at Sober Buddy, and I am joined by my dad and co-founder, Paul Breathen. He is an expert in substance abuse treatment and a pretty cool guy. Today, we will be talking about a super key topic, not just for recovery, but for all of your life. So it's important. Remember, if you like what you hear on the podcast, you should subscribe to the Sober Buddy app, because we're the people who created it. So do some of the challenges, get some motivation, share screenshots of your sober tracker, and tell Buddy how you're feeling today. Hey, Paul, welcome to the show.
Good to be back again.
Like yes. Always. We took a little bit of a break. We were gone for like two weeks.
And I know, it's been a while.
I know, because I was in New York and I don't have my recording equipment there, and we have to have the good recording equipment. And then it was 4th of July, so we didn't record again. So it's been a while.
Well, welcome back.
yes, for sure. Now, I was in New York because of multiple things, but one of those was I was doing some filming with Dave from the Dopey podcast. So have you seen any of those? Have you looked at any of those videos
yet? Yeah, actually, I watched both of them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we have a ton of videos. He just started posting a couple of them.
Well, the one that you did for yourself, and he just jumped right in, took over.
Yeah, he has determined he that I am not the best host. Yeah, I don't do the mic thing. Like I couldn't remember to like switch the mic from me to the other person.
Oh, I was wondering about
that. Yeah, so he and they wouldn't be able to hear because there's a bunch of background. So he kept taking the mic from me and I was like, because I'm not used to that. You know, I don't ever really interview people. Yeah. And so I was just, I didn't even realize I was holding the mic, you know, like I wasn't even thinking about it. So when the other girl starts talking or whatever, you know, but he's an amazing host. He has a great way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's got a real natural to, you know, natural kind of feel, and, you know, he's really good with people, you know,
just he really is. He gets people to open up about things I don't think that they would normally talk about publicly.
That's true.
He did a really good job of that. Yeah. So, but one of the other things that he does, so we did the thing where we did Sober Buddy challenges in Washington Square Park. And we also went to a methadone clinic and bought people coffee, because that's a Sober Buddy challenge, is to buy strangers coffee. Right. And that was really cool. That was really like, and you know, eye opening for me. And, but one of the other things that we did is he has on his podcast, or not on his podcast, on his YouTube channel, he does like the daily reflections, you know, from 12 step, you know, from AA. So we did a bunch of those, and it made me think about humility, because he's doing a bunch of stuff on the seventh step, and that deals with humility. And I think people have a big misconception about humility. You know, I think a lot of people think that humility means something it doesn't. So I thought we would go into what humility actually is. And do you agree with that? Do you feel like a lot of people don't understand humility?
Yeah, well, it's a conversation I had frequently working with people. Yeah, it really is. It's and it's often misunderstood. You're right.
Yeah, because I think it's modesty. They think humility is modesty, and it's not the same thing. So I love Brené Brown. So Brené Brown, I mean, she has amazing books, and she does a lot of research on shame, and she's kind of does a ton of stuff with emotions. And she has a new book called Atlas of the Heart. And Atlas of the Heart is essentially an encyclopedia of emotions. So it's not like a book that you necessarily read straight through, but it's really cool for looking up different emotions and just kind of seeing the definitions and how she defines them. And so I looked up humility to see if it would be, you know, a good reference. And I loved what she said because she talks about a lot of different things, but she basically says, when it comes down to it, you can sum it up as, I'm here to get it right, not to be right. And I thought that was kind of cool. Right.
No, it is, because I see it as another way of saying this, humility, you could say humble, you know, and that's somebody who's willing to admit they're wrong if they've done something wrong. You know, the opposite, like say pride and arrogant, is someone who's not willing to admit, you know, or take responsibility for an error or wrong or, you know, wrongdoing. And so you kind of have to, like say, swallow your pride and step up and admit that. I think that's a big part of what it means, even in recovery.
You know? Right, right. Because if it's, but it, one of the things she talked about is it isn't like downplaying yourself or your accomplishments, which is like modesty.
No, a lot of people think. That's what people misunderstand it. You're right. It's not about, oh, well, I'm going to brag. No, it's not about bragging. It's really about, you're right. It's about, you know, coming to terms with the truth that's, you know, being kind of reflected towards you and going, yeah, I guess I am like that.
You know, it's funny.
I do need help.
Yeah. And it's funny because in my own experience, humility is like one of those things where it's like you're trying to avoid the, like that moment, right? You're like fighting against it. You don't want to admit that you're wrong. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's like this fire that's pulling you into it. But then as soon as you just let yourself go into it and you face it and you're saying like, yeah, that's me. And yeah, I did that. And yeah, I'm struggling with this. All of a sudden there's an incredible freedom, right? Because you're no longer afraid of being exposed. You're no longer afraid of like somebody catching you or even with yourself, you know, it's just an incredible freedom.
Well, you know, underneath that resistance is the fear of shame.
Yeah.
See, the rejection of society or people that you care about or family or close people that, you know, are important in your life. And so to admit to a wrong, then there's always the fear that they won't like me anymore. They're going to reject me. I'm going to get in trouble. You know, so there's a lot of motivation to deny or to resist or to ignore. You know, when it comes to so being humble is really stepping up and taking responsibility and admitting it. And you're right. There's like a relief. It's like a burden.
And there's also an acceptance of the consequences, kind of, you know, like when you admit it and you admit that this is me, then you're also kind of saying, and I know that there's consequences to this and I have to face them. And again, freedom. Because you're not afraid, because you're running and running and running from the consequence of it. And then when you just submit to it, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, and it's incredible healing and freedom.
And sometimes, not all the time, but I think for most people, when you admit to something, they're all of a sudden become more gracious and forgiving, because it's like, we're all that, we've all been there and we all know what that's like.
So right. Yeah.
The fact you take responsibility is like, well, this, sometimes like, well, thank God you finally did. You know, it's like now you're being real and human, and I can deal with that.
Right.
Instead of being the, you know, the slippery and loose, and you know, like you can't seem to get a hold of a person; they just keep slipping through your fingers. You know, and so.
So humility is kind of a beginning. Yeah. It's like we can begin to have a real relationship. We can begin to make progress.
Right.
We can begin to move forward, because when you're in that loop of denial and you're in that loop, it's like then nothing can be addressed.
Right. Right. Because you won't let it be addressed.
Right.
Yeah. And so you live in a distorted reality. You live in an unreal world, you might say. And so things never get resolved. They just keep repeating themselves over and over. And that's, I think people eventually get so frustrated and feeling hopeless and that they eventually just settle that this is as good as it's going to get, or disengage and maybe eventually leave.
Right.
And then we wonder, why. Well, how come this all of a sudden ended up such a bad situation?
Right. Well, right. And then in recovery, so how does this play into the importance of recovery? So, you know, the huge humility step, because I know it's a big thing. And can you kind of elaborate on how it impacts recovery?
Good question. Well, it's the internal conflict. And I think people who are struggling with any form of like an addiction, you got this internal war going on. You know that what you're doing is not helpful. It's harmful. Yet you just can't seem to help yourself. And you keep, it's like you fall into this trap that you can't escape, or a hole. And so at the same time, you're afraid to admit to it or to bring about change, because you're afraid of what the future would be without the drug, because you have all the reasons why it's helpful. You know, like when you're doing the pros and cons, you know, people kind of have weigh this out. Well, you know, I don't want to lose this because it helps me with emotions or with sleep or in social settings, or, you know, so we have all these reasons. And so a lot of the denial is to preserve, you know, the kind of the world that you've been living in for so long, and to give that up is frightening. And then to face the consequences and admitting that it is a problem, because you have people telling you it's a problem. It's a problem in their life. And so there's this war, internal war going on. I think once you finally admit that it is a problem, you feel that relief, and then you can move forward. You can't really move forward until you admit, right? You take responsibility for a behavior that's self-destructive. Right. And in other people's lives. So that's why it's one of the steps is, it's like you if you want to have a different life, then you have to really have a sense of like humbleness, admitting the problem, taking responsibility. Now, we're not talking about admitting the problems of other people.
Right, right. This is not, yeah, but that's, you know, a totally saying, yeah, different thing.
Yeah. It's like, no, that's their responsibility. And this is where it gets also confusing in relationships. There's this blurred boundaries. You know, you have somebody who's takes responsibility that's yours, and for them to let that go and not feel guilty or responsible, yeah, or afraid, you know, and so there's a humility on their part. There's a humbleness on their part too.
Right. And I remember, you know, this, like, I remember when we were doing group therapy, this is the first time this came up for me, was when I was in my pregnancy school, you know, as a high schooler, yeah. They had us in group therapy. Again, this is such an excellent program. I just like want to applaud them now as an adult looking back, but we would do this group therapy. And of course, everyone wanted to complain about, you know, like their boyfriends or their parents or whatever. And I remember the therapist kept making us only talk about ourselves and our part of the issue,
right?
You know, right. And everyone would get so frustrated, and there was this, but it was forming, and it's like, you can only control yourself, you know, like, right. you can complain about the other person all day. And I think this is really important too, for anybody who's family of people in recovery as well, you know, is like saying, like, you can only control yourself. Trying to control them isn't going to help, you know, but somebody, you know, you can only control yourself. You can't control how other people are going to respond, or you can't control if they're going to go into recovery as well or whatever. And just having the humility to just continually admit your own part of everything. And then, like you said, I do think that helps us have grace on other people when we have this kind of humility. I feel is really akin to radical self-acceptance. You know, when we can look at ourselves and we face it. And then if we can go that one step more of accepting it, you know, and loving it.
That's really good. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Cause you're loving yourself despite those things, right? You're going, you know what? This is who I am. This is my humanity. This is how I got here. And I'm loving myself and I'm having that self-acceptance. Then you have this incredible health that comes from you. And then you're no longer fragile. You know, radical self-acceptance kind of like makes you less fragile, because you just feel grounded and you don't feel like someone's going to threaten your identity. And then all of a sudden you have all of this space and grace for other people because you've accepted these things about yourself as part of your humanity. So you'll accept them about other people and about their humanity.
Right.
And and we've talked about how that's actually, you know, that, and this is a totally different topic that we can talk about fully on another podcast, but about self-esteem is a myth. Self-acceptance is what actually makes us feel good, you know, and how like focusing on having like good self-esteem actually is a lot of times more harmful because then we have shame if we don't have self-esteem, you know, so, but the whole point.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah. The whole point being like humility is like the first step to that acceptance because, you know, the self-acceptance isn't saying that everything I do is perfect and beautiful. It's saying that, yeah, I mess up. I receive that and I accept that about myself, that I mess up, you know?
Right.
So.
And that acceptance creates connection.
Yes.
Like you were talking about. And empathy, because now you can understand what other people are feeling and thinking.
Right.
Because you're freed up. It's just a pathway to health.
Yes.
And a better life. It really is. And so if you want to have those things in your life, then this is the path you must take.
Right. You have to face it to fix it. You have to face it. You know,
well,
you
like
have
that.
That. Thanks. I just came
face
up with
it
that.
To fix it.
You have to face it to fix it. Like we should have Megan. That's what's going to be on the social media, the clip. You have to face it to fix it. So
good one.
We face it, you know, we face it, we accept it, and then we can move forward because you can't solve the problem unless you know what the problem is, unless you've already, you know, you've seen the problem face to face, you know, otherwise it won't solve the problem. So you got to face it. You got to, then you can fix it. And then you'll have this incredible health that blooms from it. And that you'll be able to connect with other people with as well.
I hope that helps.
Yes. So that has been today's podcast all about humility. We would love to hear your thoughts on humility and how humility has impacted your life. So hit us up on social media at Your Sober Buddy on all of our different channels. And we think that you've got this, that you can make your life better than it has ever been before. Just take it 1 hour, 1 day at a time.